Welcome to Another Moment in Creation with Diana Wedge, where we explore the world around us from God's perspective. Today, we're talking about licorice. The word licorice is derived from the Greek language meaning sweet root. If you were to find the licorice plant in the wild, it could stand as tall as 5 feet and have small purple and blue flowers. Glycyrrhizin is what gives licorice its sweet flavor, and glycyrrhizin is 50 times sweeter than sugar. That's a whole lot of sweet. Salmiak or salmiakki is a type of licorice confectionery common in Germany, Finland, Sweden, and other Nordic countries. It's flavored with ammonium chloride, which gives it a salty flavor. It's commonly referred to as salty licorice. Licorice was known and favored among ancient Egyptians. It was used as a medicine and in beverages and was even found in famous pharaoh King Tutankhamun's tomb. The Candy Funhouse shares that the thing that makes licorice so interesting, besides its great flavor, is that it has been around since the Middle Ages and used for not only confectionery sweets, but it's also been used in medicine for centuries. Plus, it's been pretty popular with some major figures in history, including Alexander the Great, King Tut, and Napoleon Bonaparte. Not many candies can lay claim to have been part of that much of our world's history. From someone within the latest century, Jerry Garcia from the band Grateful Dead is quoted as saying the following: "We are like licorice. Not everybody likes licorice, but the people who like licorice really like licorice." As I mentioned, many popular figures in history have enjoyed licorice, including famous French military leader Napoleon Bonaparte, who loved licorice and ate so much of it that his teeth turned black. Now that's a lot of licorice. And here's another bit of trivia. Alexander the Great had his armies take licorice with them to chew on if they were thirsty and water was scarce. Licorice has been used for medicinal purposes, as I've mentioned, and this has taken place worldwide with the ancient Greeks, Romans, Chinese, and Hindus. It can be used to treat sore throats and ulcers, and even helps to promote adrenal gland function. In the Middle Ages, Italian knights would use this romantic phrase to dedicate to the ladies that they were sweet on. Love is a dream sweet as milk and licorice. What is the difference between licorice and anise? The plant and flower of anise have long, thin green stems and fanned out white flowers. They are similar in appearance to cow parsley. Anise has a very similar flavor to licorice, but they are slightly different. Anise is not as sharp and bitter as licorice. While it does have a very strong flavor, it is not as overpowering as licorice. Anise and licorice have a similar taste and fragrance. Other than that, they are very different. The main differences between anise and licorice come down to their botanical properties and classification. Anise is a fruit, while licorice is a root. People commonly call them anise seeds because they seem to be seeds, but they are fruits. Anise is a part of the Apiaceae plant family. A little aside here, regarding star anise, despite its name and flavor, star anise is not related to anise. Star anise is a spice that is, unsurprisingly, shaped like a star. It bears an identical name because of the flavor, but they grow in different areas and are parts of different plant families. Although licorice has an incredibly similar flavor to anise, they are from different families. Licorice is from the bean family, Fabaceae. Licorice grows in the form of a shrub. It has a wooden, hairy, upright stem that can reach 3 to even 5 feet in height. Licorice has a strong root system that contains a taproot, numerous lateral branches, and runners. The root is brown on the outside, and it's yellow on the inside. The flavor of licorice comes from the root of the plant. Licorice roots are sold dried. Licorice is used in different dishes and different things, but here are some of the most common uses for licorice. Flavoring candy. Candy is by far the most popular way of consuming licorice. It is especially popular in the UK in the form of licorice all sorts. These are candies that are made by combining licorice, coconut, and sugar. They also sometimes include aniseed, but licorice is the primary ingredient and flavor. In the US, licorice is most popularly used to flavor Twizzlers, a candy that is shaped like a twisted black rope. Flavoring alcohol. Due to its strong flavor, licorice is also used to flavor alcohol. Due to the intensity of its flavor, licorice can essentially be used to flavor anything. In most cases, it will easily be the most dominant flavor. Licorice tea. Licorice is also popularly used in tea. Licorice tea is said to protect against infections, relieve an upset stomach, reduce acid reflux, and aid in digestion. Antifungal and antimicrobial properties. Some clinical studies have shown that licorice can help with skin inflammation and infection. This means that regularly consuming licorice can potentially reduce the prevalence of pimples and similar issues. This also means it is good for cleaning wounds. It will reduce the bacteria around the wound, which will allow the skin to repair faster. You might want to talk to an herbalist or a naturopath and ask them how you would apply licorice, probably as an extract or maybe from your health food store. You'd get some great tips on that. Licorice is also said to help reduce eczema. Eczema is also known as dermatitis, a skin condition that affects many people, but some suffer with it on a chronic basis. Eczema can be caused by several different factors, one of which is a bacterium that can infect the skin. One study has shown that licorice root extract can be used to combat this bacterium. Hepatitis C. This is one of the most impressive potential benefits of licorice. Doctors in Japan injected glycyrrhizin into patients with chronic hepatitis C. Remember, glycyrrhizin is the main compound in licorice which gives it its flavor. Due to its antimicrobial properties, glycyrrhizin has been demonstrated to work against hepatitis C in cells. It might even be the basis for a future treatment of the illness. Sore throat. Licorice can help to reduce the irritation and pain of a sore throat. This is suggested by a study which gave a licorice solution to patients following a surgery which involved a breathing tube. This study showed that gargling the licorice solution helped to reduce the severity of this kind of sore throat as much as using a ketamine gargle. Some claim if you chew on licorice root, it can help you quit smoking. I've also learned that if you're in an area where you have very dry nasal sinuses, a couple drops of licorice extract can also, in your mouth, can also help to cause a moistening of those mucous membranes. Tooth decay. Due to its antimicrobial properties, licorice might be able to reduce tooth decay. This is by combating the bacteria which causes the tooth decay. This would, of course, mostly when it's consumed as an extract. This definitely does not mean eating candy made of licorice is good for your teeth. That said, the evidence for this is limited. It has only been demonstrated in a laboratory setting, and it has yet to be proven in human trials. Here's something very interesting that I learned while researching licorice. If you have high blood pressure, or if you are on high blood pressure medication, try to avoid licorice. Unless you're doing it with a doctor's supervision and it's in the deglycerinated form. DGL is what it's called in the health store. Just to reiterate, please be aware that licorice, yes, even in the candies, can absolutely affect you if you have heart issues. If you have high blood pressure or heart concerns, it is best to avoid licorice as it can send your heart racing if you have those concerns. Otherwise, about 100 milligrams a day is the most a person should consume. That's like way less than an ounce. Did you know that you can celebrate your love of licorice every year during National Licorice Day on April 12th?
I love licorice.
Did you know that fennel is a vegetable which, interestingly, has a very strong licorice flavor? Its flavor is also close to that of anise. This is interesting as it is not related to either licorice or anise. This means that there are a number of herbs, spices, vegetables, and plants which all have identical flavors, but they are not at all related to each other. These similarities in the flavors between licorice, anise, and fennel are thanks to the compound called anethol. This is found in anise, licorice, and fennel and gives a pleasant, warm sweetness. One of the reasons why it is so common for manufacturers to use anise instead of licorice is due to the fact that licorice can often have adverse side effects on health, such as affecting the blood pressure, and sometimes it even causes digestive issues. Have a look at the ingredients area on your licorice candy and check to see if it is using a licorice extract. Answers in Genesis, or AIG, explains in their Heaven and Earth video a little about plants. Let's listen.
Humans need energy. Energy to work, to walk, to think. Our cells even need energy when we sleep. And God provided a tremendous source of continual energy, the sun. The sun has all the energy we could ever need, but no human or animal on the planet can get its energy directly from the sun. Plants, on the other hand, can do exactly that. Every leaf of every plant has the ability to convert sunlight into energy. Energy we, in turn, can use. For that purpose, leaves have been designed to absorb sunlight, let in carbon dioxide, and hold in water. Inside the cells of the leaf are amazing energy factories that pack the energy of sunlight into high-energy foods. Some molecules absorb sunlight. Others open and close portals. Others transport things. This sophisticated chemical factory performs hundreds of separate steps in perfect harmony. A symphony so complex that we have not yet fully fathomed it. Dozens of scientists are still working around the world to figure out the individual steps. And all this happens in millions of cells in every blade of grass, every day of the year. And plants do much more than that. They produce oxygen. They provide homes for animals. They slow down erosion. They hold moisture. Every blade of grass, every rustling leaf, constantly converts the energy of the sun into food, oxygen, and shelter. That is an amazing testimony to God's wisdom and God's care and provision for all creation.
Plant breeding is not evolution. According to Creation Ministries International, or CMI, a reader named Vanya had an interesting question regarding claims that evolutionists make that once inedible foods evolved to become edible. She wrote, "Recently, I've come across several articles on plant evolution that report how many modern crops we consume today were once inedible grass in the past, and that they were evolved through genetic mutation and artificial selection to produce the edible foodstuffs." Vanya continues, While I don't believe that any of these claims support the theory of evolution, I've also seen people use these reports to attack creation because, apparently, the original world could not have been, quote, very good, unquote, if man is forced to rely on these, quote, lucky, unquote, mutations to obtain the staples they need to survive. She adds, I'm not sure how to respond to this, so I'd really appreciate your help on this. Thank you very much, and God bless your ministry. Agricultural scientist and CEO of CMI Australia, Dr. Don Batten, responded, When God originally created everything, he proclaimed it very good. However, it did not stay that way for long. Following the sin of Adam and Eve, God said that they would struggle to survive. It's stated in the Bible, Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. So, from a biblical perspective, the food available after the fall was indeed deficient or difficult. There could be various aspects to this, such as easy foods were no longer being available, the staples would produce less nutritious food, the soil would not be as productive, and that pests and diseases would make it difficult. Dr. Batten continues, I have no problem with the concept that mankind has selected and developed various crop foods to make them nicer to eat or easier to cultivate, but sometimes not as nutritious or healthy. This has nothing to do with evolution, as there is no evidence that the processes involved the natural addition of new genetic information to the species that are involved. Mutations are the only game in town for the evolutionist to achieve this, and they are clearly not up to the job. You can check more on that in Mutations, Questions and Answers from Creation Ministries International. The natural processes of mutation and natural or artificial selection do not add new biochemical pathways to living things. Dr. Batten concludes, However, sometimes I believe that the story of crop development is embellished, possibly to make the profession of plant breeding look more impressive. For example, a wild form of a crop found today is held up as being like that which gave rise to what we cultivate today. This might or might not be the case, but it could be a form that degenerated from an earlier type that was more like the varieties of today. I'm not questioning that it has been developed, just the degree of development sometimes claimed. Indeed, with some of the claims, it is difficult to see how people could ever have seen any potential in trying to select from the degenerate forms claimed to be ancestral. I would like to share a poem titled The Licorice Fields at Pontefract, written and read by its author, Sir John Betjeman.
The Licorice Fields at Pontefract. In the licorice fields at Pontefract, my love and I did meet, and many a burdened licorice bush was blooming round our feet. Red hair she had, and golden skin, her sulky lips were shaped for sin, her sturdy legs were flannel slacked, the strongest legs in Pontefract. The light and dangling licorice flowers gave off the sweetest smells. From various black Victorian towers, the Sunday evening bells came pealing over dales and hills, and tanneries and silent mills, and lowly streets where country stops, and little shuttered corner shops. She cast her blazing eyes on me, and plucked a licorice leaf. I was her captive slave, and she my red-haired robber chief. Oh, love, for love I could not speak. It left me winded, wilting, weak, and held in brown arms, strong and bare, and wound with flaming ropes of hair.
Licorice, I find it so interesting that God has given us so many incredible plants to benefit His creation. It is also amazing how completely different plants and seeds can be found in very different parts of the world and yet share some similar qualities. It may be scent and or the flavor or medicinal properties. God is so good. If you would like to take notes of the information I have given, I encourage you to check out our website for archived episodes at CrestonGraceFellowship.org. Click the 89.1 FM radio station heading and then click My Program tab. This is Diana signing off until we share another moment in creation.